want to share a really good dream with you concerning the things that are, I believe, happening now and going to get worse down the road. And we're going to put this on the site. It's called Church is Oblivious to Judgment at Hand. C.L. Gregory had this on the 28th of last month. And he said, a few days ago, God spoke a verse to me, and since then it has led to other verses and thoughts, and they all consist of the last days and the state of the church and this nation. Long story short, last night I was going to bed when I asked the Lord to show me what he was trying to tell me, and I believe I got my answer. I dreamed that I was driving at night up a road much similar to a rural area of a Tennessee mountain town. In the passenger side was my grandmother. Why she was in the dream was beyond me. Well, I'd like to share a little interpretation here. I believe that, like grandmother, the church has been with us for many years. And it's an ancient institution. And I believe that she will represent the church in this rest of this dream. And I believe that he will represent the fruit of the church, the modern fruit of the church, if you will. As we drove, I noticed we approached a hill, and there was a small gas station on the left-hand side of the road. But what I saw further up the road shook me with fear. As I was nearing the very small station, I saw up the hill and over the top was a large mountain, a volcano, which was erupting. But there was no sound, no thunder, no nothing. I think that obviously symbolizes that this is not a physical volcano, but it symbolizes something, right? Because there's no such thing as a physical volcano that doesn't make any sound or thunder or whatever, you know? So imagine the night image of a volcano with a large mushroom cloud as flakes of ash are falling down. Well, if I might, I would add just this, that a quiet, unheard-of judgment from hell, which is where basically the fire comes from in a volcano, right, is in the direct path of the end-time fruit of the woman church. That fruit, I believe, is represented by Gregory here. This could also be a warning of the oil and gas volcano that is erupting quietly under the sea through the well and the fissures, sending its fallout quietly upon the land through poisoned air and rain and disruption of the sea, air, and weather currents, which I'm going to talk about here presently. And this is a major part of this judgment, too. Or possibly the Biloxi Dome, which has been likened to an undersea volcano, releasing its bubble of oil and gas. Some have said that it might explode. It's a possibility. And this, according to scientists, has been quietly venting through fissures in the seafloor. And the Lord only knows if they're ever going to tell us after they, or if they plug the well at the bottom, if this is going to continue or if this has stopped. Either way, I wouldn't trust it until I just found out that these fissures weren't blowing anymore, because it's kind of useless. So at any rate, that's something I felt might be what this thing is doing actually right now and going to continue to do. Gregory went on to say, I turned into the gas station and ran over to the woman attendant and told her to run, get away, for the volcano had erupted. I believe this is a warning to those who, like the small Philadelphia church, have a little power. I put in quotes a little power because that's what's spoken of there in the book of Revelation concerning the Philadelphia church. And I believe it's represented by this very small station. a little power. I mean, stations are for to empower automobiles, right? These will escape the judgment, since only those with the Spirit listen to such warnings. Yes, we've all tried to share with non-Spirit-filled people things that are happening, and they just kind of look at you funny most of the time. But at any rate, they're oblivious to the near dangers that we're in and the present judgment that's falling upon the country. He went on to say, what got me was my grandmother, old and wise in her years, was alert at first and was telling me advice about life and things, but then she fell asleep. Well, we have heard the teachings of the early church, but in these days, many of those that have them have fallen asleep, and they're ignorant of the judgment that is continuing to happen and will be even more so in the future. I'm convinced, folks, this old judgment's not over. It's really just begun. He went on to say, for some odd reason, I could not drive the car away, for only she could drive it. But she kept falling asleep. But I had to act, and act quickly. Well, I thought that those who are members of this church must awake to escape on their own, but we can help them by our strength through faith and prayer. We need to be praying for God's people that they will wake up. And the reason I say this is because of what he says next. He says, I picked up my grandmother into my arms. She still would not wake up, even though the danger was near us. In my spirit, I knew that the most dangerous event was the volcano's silence. So he literally picked her up and started carrying her, even though she was asleep and didn't know. And most of us have had this this effect on people around us. You know, we're able to help them, to add our faith to theirs, and to move them even when they don't know they're being moved by God. We pray for our relatives because they're our relatives, and we have some pull with God on that. So we pray for them, we believe for them, and God just seems to move them, even though they're totally ignorant of what's going on. And he went on to say, as we left, I peered out of the mirror, and the volcano was getting more violent. Well, my thoughts on this was we have to repent, which means turn around. And through doing this, we can escape and put this judgment in our rearview mirror, just like he was doing. It was behind him, instead of in front of him. He wasn't heading into it. He was heading out of it. We finally made it to a shelter. Well, he had told us earlier that it was like a Tennessee mountain town. So I would say the shelter here is first and foremost a refuge in Christ. And secondarily, it could be the Tennessee thing for us, that the Lord is sending us to. And when my grandmother awoke, we finally made it to a shelter when my grandmother awoke, but the reality was she could not warn the others, for she had fallen asleep. We watched as the lava reached down alongside of the buildings and the homes of every sort which had been on the wall of the volcano. And I said within my dream, thousands will die from this tragic event, all because we could not and did not warn them. And I might add to this that because the rich and political powers that be hid these things from the public, so that it is a quiet, fiery judgment coming upon the world. And then the dream ended. And Gregory gives some thoughts here. He says, it was earlier today which I felt God speak to my spirit and reveal to me that the volcano I saw was an impending judgment that was about to come. And I have no doubt of that. It could symbolize this judgment that we're going through right now and in the future. It could also symbolize something even bigger. I know that we're coming to some some earthquakes. I know that we're coming to another spanking on America. I know that we're coming to a world war. There are just all kinds of troubles down the road here. He went on to say, my grandmother, I believe, represents the church, wise, old, and established, but has fallen asleep. The fact remained, I believe God was showing me that something is coming and that the church is so busy caught up into the cares of this life that it does not see the mountain before them, which is about to blow. When it does, they won't know it until after it comes. So let's pray, folks. It's very clear what we can do for the sleepy church. We can pray that God will wake them up, that they will see the handwriting on the wall, so to speak. Right? And Gregory went on to say, I believe wholeheartedly that there is something tragic coming on this nation and the church, who should be praying, preaching the truth against sin and immorality, and warning the world of God's anger. And the church is asleep. So that's my dream, so do with it as you will. That's very interesting. Well, I one of my comments here was the poisoned air and rain, which we're definitely experiencing here. And I was sharing with you last time that there were strange reactions in the animals around here, and I've been watching them and trying to listen to the Lord. And I shared with you how sometimes when we go to town, we see a lot of deer coming out on the road and turkeys coming out on the road. Well, I saw something yesterday that was just truly amazing to me. I went around a curve going to the little local town here, and I saw something very big moving on the right side of the road, and in a moment I realized that the reason it looked very big is it was about 15 full-sized wild turkeys milling around in a little circle there on the side of the road. I never saw anything like that in my life. I bet there's people that have hunted for turkeys a good bit of their life has never seen anything like that in their life. Turkeys are very wild. They don't generally gather into gangs like that. They don't nest, and they never gather out, you know, on the side of a road where there's a lot of humans. And but I shared with you last time that I felt that they were trying to escape something in the woods, and I thought it was this rain. I think they can smell it. I think they know something's wrong, and I think it might even be making them sick. But at any rate, I also mentioned that the sea, air, and weather currents appear to be being judged. Something that is so, I think, tremendous that it is affecting the whole world. And I want to share it with you here. It's about the dying ocean currents. No doubt some of you have heard about this, but Lord Stirling is the one that's you know, making it known very much. I'm going to read this from his writing. This is about day 110 of the BP Deepwater Horizon oil disaster. The disaster warfare against America and the world by the global banking families. Well, he doesn't get into that part too much, but he does get into what is going to, what is happening here. And he says the Gulf Stream and the North Atlantic current are dying. The Loop Current in the Gulf of Mexico already dead. Extreme heat and drought in Russia. Flooding in Asia. Killing cold in South America. All connected to the BP oil disaster by the Earl of Stirling. And then interesting, Russia is, you know, I haven't watched in the last couple of days, but a couple of days ago they were saying they were losing 700 people a day from the fires and the smoke that was drifting through Moscow and the heat. 700 people a day. Isn't that amazing? And who's ever heard of that happening around Moscow? Well, they seem to be connected, according to what these scientists are saying, to the oil being mixed in with the water. So let me read this to you. Our planet is experiencing a real-life version of the movie after tomorrow, right now. Record-breaking heat, up to 39 to 40 centigrade or 100 to 104 Fahrenheit in Moscow. And drought in Russia, heat and flooding in large parts of Asia, China, Pakistan, etc., and killing cold temperatures in South America are all reflective of a rapidly changing global weather pattern that is caused by dramatic changes in the Gulf Stream and the North Atlantic Current, also called the North Atlantic Drift, and the Norway Current, etc. I guess the reason etc. is in there is because, you know, all these currents are connected together. Actually, they're named in certain parts of the world, but they're all flowing into one another, and it's like the world is kind of like a body with blood flowing through it. The lifeblood of the world is in these currents. And he says that this dramatic changes are brought on by the large amounts of oil discharged into the Gulf of Mexico by the BP oil disaster. An Italian theoretical physicist, Dr. Gianluigi Zangari, of the prestigious research division of the National Institute of Nuclear Physics at Frascati National Laboratories of the National Institute of Nuclear Physics in Italy, has come up with some startling scientific findings. Dr. Zangari has specialized in global climate research and analysis. He has found that the massive amount of oil in the Gulf of Mexico from the BP oil disaster has caused a disruption of the loop current in the Gulf, and further that this has resulted in a dramatic weakening in the vorticity of the Gulf Stream and the North Atlantic Current, and a reduction in North Atlantic water temperatures of 10 degrees centigrade. It is a university-level physics experiment to use a tub of cool water and inject a colored stream of warm water into it. You can see the boundary layers of the warm water stream. If you add oil to the tub, it breaks down the boundary layers of the warm water stream and effectively destroys the current vorticity. This is what is happening in the Gulf of Mexico and in the Atlantic Ocean. The entire river of warm water that flows from the Caribbean to the edges of Western Europe is dying due to the Corexit that the Obama administration allowed BP to use to hide the scale of the BP Deepwater Horizon oil disaster. I agree with that. That's exactly what they're doing. The approximately 2 million gallons of Corexit plus several million gallons of other dispersants have caused the over 200 million gallons of crude oil that has gushed for months from the BP wellhead and nearby sites to mostly sink to the bottom of the ocean. This has helped to effectively hide much of the oil, which the hopes that BP can seriously, with the hopes that BP can seriously reduce the mandated federal fines from the oil disaster. However, there is no current way to effectively clean up the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, which is about half covered in crude oil. Additionally, the oil has flowed up the east coast of America and into the North Atlantic Ocean, and there is no way to effectively clean up this sea bottom oil. This massive amount of oil covering such an enormous area has seriously affected the loop current, the Gulf Stream, and the North Atlantic Current system by breaking up the boundary layers of the warm water flow. There are several names to the more regulation river of water, a river of warm water that keeps the northern hemisphere from going into a new ice age. The first section is named the Loop Current, and it begins in the Caribbean, flows around the Yucatan Peninsula, and goes into the Gulf of Mexico. Then loops around the Gulf and exits on the east side and runs between Cuba and Florida. At this point, the current is called the Florida Current, and it flows from the Keys up the east coast of America, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and part of North Carolina, to the Outer Banks. At the Outer Banks, the current heads east into the North Atlantic, where it is known as the Gulf Stream. Eventually, the Gulf Stream becomes the North Atlantic Current, which itself eventually becomes the Norway Current and the Canary Current. The reason that this system has several names and not one is historical. It's not at all discovered at the same time, and the flow was not fully known or understood for years. Ben Franklin, one of my favorite American founding fathers, is the person that named one section of this system, the Gulf Stream, in the 1760s. It should be noted that this river of warm water does not begin with the Loop Current. It is part of a much larger system that includes the Atlantic South Equatorial Current, which flows north along the coast of Brazil, the North Brazil Current, and becomes the Caribbean Current, and is renamed the Yucatan Current, and it flows north into the Yucatan Channel. This entire system is one of the main global thermal regulation processes that regulates the planet's temperatures. Based on what has already happened to the Loop Current and the Gulf Stream, North Atlantic Current, etc., and the global weather patterns, and what is continuing to happen, we can project increased global climate changes that are both serious and near in terms of time. We may be entering a full new ice age. There's no known way to clean up the massive amounts of free crude oil stripped of its lighter elements by dispersants now on the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico and in significant parts of the Atlantic Ocean where the Gulf Stream flows. The use of Corexit and other dispersants by BP with the full cooperation of the Obama administration has created the most significant danger to the entire planet in recorded history. This is what happens when a great nation slips into being a third world type of nation where money alone is the key driving force in government actions. As full knowledge of the scope of the oncoming mega disaster to the planet becomes known, the Obama administration will find itself in a political crisis way beyond Watergate that cost Nixon his presidency, or the sex affair that almost cost Clinton his presidency. The effect on this year's midterm congressional elections are apt to be traumatic. Sterling. And here from Dr. Zangari, he says the Gulf Stream importance in the global climate thermoregulation process is well assessed. The latest real-time satellite data maps of May through June of 2010, processed by CCAR, that's Colorado Center for Astrodynamics Research, checked at Frascati Laboratories by the means of the SHT congruent calculus and compared with past year's data, show for the first time a direct evidence of the rapid breaking of the Loop Current, a warm ocean current, crucial part of the Gulf Stream. As displayed by both the sea surface maps and the sea surface height maps, the Loop Current broke down for the first time around May the 18th and generated a clockwise eddy, which is still active. As of today, the situation has deteriorated up to the point in which the eddy has detached itself completely from the mainstream, therefore destroying completely the loop current. My question is, does this mean the oil and dispersion is no longer leaving the Gulf through the loop current? Normally, it would be vacuuming it out and sending it up the East Coast, but now it's going around in circles. So I'm guessing that that stuff might be here to stay for a while, depending upon whatever the Lord does here. He goes on to say, since comparative analysis with past satellite data until May 2010 didn't show relevant anomalies, it might be therefore plausible to correlate the breaking of the loop current with the biochemical and physical action of the BP oil spill on the Gulf Stream. It is reasonable to foresee the threat that the breaking of a crucial warm stream as the loop current may generate a chain reaction of unpredictable critical phenomena and instabilities due to strong non-linearites, which may have serious consequences on the dynamics of the Gulf Stream, thermal regulation activity of the global climate. Sounds bad for the climate, for the weather. And, you know, I was telling somebody just the other day, well, in fact, I think I've told several people this, that the weather sure seems to be strange since we had this oil spill. And indeed, that's exactly what they're saying here. The Gulf Stream leaves its signature over 7 miles high. The Gulf Stream's impact on climate is well known, keeping Iceland and Scotland comfortable in winter compared to the deep freeze of Labrador at the same latitude. That cyclones tend to spawn over the Gulf Stream has also been known for some time. A new study reveals that the Gulf Stream anchors a precipitation band with upward motions and cloud formations that can reach 7 miles high and penetrate the upper troposphere. The discovery announced by a Japan-U.S. team of scientists shows that the Gulf Stream has a pathway by which to directly affect weather and climate patterns over the whole northern hemisphere, and perhaps even worldwide. That's very interesting. And now something that important has totally changed. Z has been curious for some time about the response of the atmosphere to warm currents flowing within cold ocean water, such as the Gulf Stream or its Pacific counterpart, Kuroshio. Z also says it has been a challenging task to isolate the climatic influence of the Gulf Stream from energetic weather variations by using conventional observations, which are spatially and temporarily sporadic. Our findings were only possible because of the availability of high-resolution satellite data, an operational weather analysis, and an atmospheric circular model. For the first hint that these warm ocean currents have a significant effect on the atmosphere came from high-resolution NASA satellite data. These images show a narrow rain band hovering frequently over the warm flank of the currents. Wind accelerates and converges over the warm flank and diverges and decelerates on the cold flank. The findings from the operational weather analysis pointed to the warm flank of the Gulf Stream as the cause of the strong upward winds. Quote, we wanted more evidence, though, unquote, says team member Akira Kuwano Yoshida of the Japan Agency for Marine Earth Science and Technology, and turned to the high-resolution atmospheric model for the Earth simulator at CAMSTEC. We drove the model first with the actual Gulf Stream temperatures. The model successfully captured the rain band and the signature in the upper troposphere. Then we removed the sharp sea surface gradient from the Gulf Stream front by smoothing the temperature in the model. The narrow rain band disappeared, unquote. Finally, the team used outgoing long-wave radiation satellite data to measure the cloud top temperatures. The narrow cloud band associated with lightning extends 7 miles high above the Gulf Stream, meanders, and has temperatures below freezing. All this is further evidence that the Gulf Stream influence on the atmosphere extends far above the lower atmosphere. The Gulf Stream's strength has changed markedly in the past as Earth has switched between warm periods and ice ages. Closely linked to these changes have been climate changes around the globe, not only in the Atlantic, but also in the Pacific and even in the Southern Hemisphere. Scientists have been puzzled at how the changes in the Atlantic thermohaline circulation, the conveyor belt, as it's known, lead to climate anomalies in other regions in the Northern Hemisphere. The new study discovers a direct pathway, the Gulf Stream's deep heating of the atmosphere. This heating generates planetary waves that can induce quite rapid changes in Earth's atmospheric circulation and alter climate over Europe and beyond by riding on the westerly jet stream in the upper troposphere. I don't know about you, but I think the Lord knew what he was doing when he created all this. He created the earth and he created man upon it, and he set all this up to work perfectly. I once read a very neat article about how fragile Earth actually is, how God had to put it in exactly this place in space, 1% closer to the sun or further away from the sun, and life wouldn't be possible. And a list of other things, how that it had to be perfectly as it is. In other words, God knew exactly what he was doing. He created all this circulation that travels throughout the oceans of the earth. He created it in order to keep the weather on some kind of an even keel, and now they are destroying that. And it's not just, you know, I don't know if anybody did it on purpose or whether they knew this would happen. I have no idea. I wouldn't say that because I don't know. But at any rate, it did come, obviously, from man's greed. There's no doubt about it. And God permitted it. You know, God could have fixed it anytime he wanted to. But I believe that many of the judgments that we see coming upon the earth are going to come because of man's greed. God's going to use that method to bring these judgments. So that we see that man is actually judging himself. Now, I'm reminded of what Solomon said in chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes. He said, "The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to its place where it ariseth again. And the wind goeth towards the south, and turneth about unto the north. It turneth about continually in its course. And the wind returneth again to its circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place whither the rivers go, thither they go again. All things are full of weariness. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." It's very interesting how God has done this, you know, and now it's so amazing that man could, by this accident, affect the weather patterns of the entire earth disastrously. There's no doubt, just from looking about what's happening in the middle of our country and what's happening in Russia and Europe, there's no doubt something is very wrong, and that it could lead to famine, starvation, freezing weather in some areas. It's amazing. It's just amazing that we could judge ourselves so swiftly and terribly. And so for them to say that this thing is over, we plugged the leak, so on and so forth, no, it's not over. I mean, just as these scientists said, there's lots of oil down there on the ocean floor, And it's going to continue to bring judgment upon us. Recently, Fox reported that, and I shared this with you, that scientists had discovered a large, huge oil plume, and they reported it to NOAA in hopes that this would be interesting to them and something that they would be thinking about. But instead, they told them to be quiet about it and not reveal it and for a few days. But the scientists and the oceanographers blew the whistle, and NOAA began to discredit them. Imagine. You know, they're going to tell the truth. And this NOAA, which is obviously owned by the government and BP, is going to discredit them. And it's just amazing, folks. This, they're doing their best to quiet this thing down, and yet they need to get prepared for the disasters that they have started here. And I say started because we haven't seen the end of it. So at any rate, I want to say that there's a major judgment happening now. It's not like we got to wait for something to change here. This is a major judgment happening now on the weather, on the nation and the world. Poisoning the crops. I was just talking to Frank before the meeting today, and he was telling me that there's an oily substance on the leaves over there in North Carolina, and there's holes being eaten in the leaves, and the place spots on the leaves where the leaf is just dying, turning brown, and falling out. Same thing we're seeing in Alabama. And so, and we've had this reported all the way up to Ohio, and we've had it reported as far west as the north, west Texas, and all the way to the east coast. That's a very large area that has been judged already and is continuing to be judged. No, it's not over, folks, and this is bigger. This is bigger than what we started with. Remember, we had revelations about a 20-foot wave. And I just thought the other day, 20 foot, huh? It's actually the stink was reaching us. We might have been, I don't know, 17, 18 miles, but it was reaching about 20 miles inland, the stink from the stuff in the Gulf around Pensacola. And then we got a dream about a 1,000-foot wave, and the thought came to me just the other day that this 1,000-foot wave is probably talking about how it will reach much further inland. And maybe it's 1,000 miles. If a 20-footer will go 20 miles, it represents a 20. Obviously, we never saw a 20-foot wave, so it's spiritually speaking, right? And a 1,000-footer will go 1,000. That brings you right up there to Brother Amos Skaggs in Ohio, who told me about the same thing happening where he is. That's interesting, huh? The judgment is bigger now than it was in the beginning, by far, because now it's reaching much farther. It is a major judgment. And the great thing about it is you and I are delivered from the curse of this world. You know that? We have been set free. Jesus Christ bore upon himself this curse. You can go out and pray for your property. You can bless it. You can pray over your crops. You can pray over your food, and the Lord will hold fast to his word. You know, he tells us very plainly that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come a blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So, I repeat these things in order to warn you of the things that are coming, and do seriously learn how to pray over your food, and, pray over the creatures, around your property and things, and, God bless you.